Okay.
My last comment is I contacted one of the biggest foundation repair companies in Milwaukee County, Accurite, A-U-C-C-U-R-I-T-E. I just made a cold call. I didn't give them my address, didn't tell them the circumstance why I'm calling. I just had a question, and it was, what are the reasons why somebody would hire you? And they told me in Milwaukee County, the three main reasons why somebody would hire a foundation repair company for their walls or floors are expansive soil, which is clay, which we do have in River Heights, tree roots, and vibrations in the ground. And that sparked my interest, vibrations in the ground. So I asked, what do they mean? And they said that means, for example, when homes are located near a freeway with regular vibrations. I did not tell them that I live near a quarry. So what I'm trying to say is I think River Heights subdivision, being 850 feet away from the southern end of the quarry is going to be going till 2040, we possibly have one, two, maybe all three of these situations. We definitely have clay soil, and we definitely have vibrations. I think we're a very unique neighborhood. I disagree with the Alderman Barber. I know where you live. I've been to your house many times. You are not across from the berm. You are on the edge of the quarry. The problem is the residents that are between 55th and 59th that look directly at the berm, they're right on the other end of the berm. You're kind of on the corner. And then the other comment was, Alderwoman, you had mentioned much earlier in the meeting that when you were living closer to the quarry, you didn't really know the difference or couldn't tell sometimes the difference of like an airplane and the
vibration. No, that's my current location.
Okay, that's your current
location. When I live closer to the quarry, I was subject to feeling those quite and hearing those quite frequently because I was closer to Pleasant View School. Okay. And I actually went to the Pleasant View PTA and asked them if they would put up a monitor because I was concerned about the air quality and the silica possible dust for my children who were going to that school. And I couldn't get anybody to even do anything about it. But I tried.
I think most of the residents here, if not all of them, we can tell the difference when an airplane flies over our house and vibrations.
I just meant noise inside my house in general, that it's hard for me to. You know.
Is the machine up and running now?
Still in the shop for repair? Amtech hasn't told me anything yet. So this is 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Somehow there's a lack of accountability there. Amtech, I'm not sure how we...
Can't hear you.
It's on its way back. We haven't gotten it back yet. So we had to send it to our actual repair shop. And I don't have... I have called today to find the...
The comment in the background was from Mike from Stantec.
So the quarry operations in terms of blasting, is that ceased now for the winter?
Yes.
So that stopped completely?
Our 16-week window was going to go through in mid-November, roughly. So, Mike, Dan, if you're asking us, no, we're not done blasting for the year.
We'll be blasting and quarrying probably up to that a week.
And then how long will it be till you start in again? March, April?
Probably March. Early March.
I'd like to say to the gentlemen that are here from the quarry, I appreciate you being here. However, you're hearing all these comments. Will you please find a method to not blast these people's homes and shake their homes this year? Until we can find out something reasonable, because you've got to either, when you're in a certain area, I don't know if there's a vein in the rock, I don't know what it is, but when you're in certain areas, even when you're doing it at a low level, it's affecting their homes. And, you know, you can say all the times that I've said, you know, people are getting cracked basements, and that just happens, that's settling. You can say that all they want, but I can go to another neighborhood and ask those same people, and they're not having the problems that the people next to the quarry have. So to me, there's a direct correlation there. And to the residents, there's a direct correlation there. And we need you to help us on that. We're asking you to please find lower levels, smaller, more frequent blasting, or something to help us. Can you do that?
Yes, we all support that question.
We support that statement.
As I've mentioned to you quite a few times, Roe, that many of you have this story on the committee, is that we can never get it to the point where neighbors are never, ever going to feel it. And I will never stand here and say that we can get it to that point. What we can do is minimize those vibrations best we can, make sure that we stay within the limits of the PD.
The limits of the PDD are not working, however. That's the problem. We appreciate you staying within limits, but the limits are too high for the residents. It's just not working. We have no control over it. The only thing we can do is beg you to not do that. That's it. That's all the control we have. Unless we're going to try to find some kind of fine nuisance in some way around the PDD, we can only ask.
Right. I mean, and we've done it before. We've showed you examples where we've reacted to neighbors' complaints and done things differently. I mean, I've talked to Joel about different instances we had over the past, and we are able to do that. But we're never able to get rid of 100% of vibrations. But we will keep them at the levels that's been determined through studies that it's not going to cause any damage to people's homes. That we can do. Now, one of the things that we can offer, though, to the neighbors, too, is that, because we have permanent siding grass, is if neighbors are willing, we can come to their house, too, and set one up, too, when we blast. We won't be able to do everybody, obviously, at one time, but we can do that to see what's really happening at their specific residence as well.
Then I guess I would like those that would be willing to do that to give your name and address to them.
Obviously, we can't go out and set 50.
I understand that, but what you can do.
Set probably two or three. It depends. We have to talk about the effects that they have to do that. But those are things we could do to help determine.
Okay.
The last thing I just want to say, according to the Stantec letter in early September, just so you know, the Quarry Monitoring Committee knows that there is no private monitoring going on since September, and they said they're going to be blasting till the end of December. So there is, even if the readings could be false or something or whatever, there is no monitor for September, October, November, and most of December.
So they're going to give you $100,000 back?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Alderman Barber.
I just want to say one thing to Jeff, that I agree, I do live on the fringe. There was a blast about 10 years ago that did shake things off my wall, though. So it does happen. But I do believe, and for everybody here, what my understanding is in listening to everybody here, is there is a corridor that is directly affected by this. The first I heard it, to me it was not the most earth-shaking thing. I heard the shale come down. I felt the vibration. But it didn't knock anything off my walls. And that's because I live on that fringe area, just on the conservancy, the east side of the conservancy there, which is the fringe. But I do believe there is a corridor in there somewhere that is very greatly affected by this.
I think that corridor is between 55th and 59th, which is directly across from the berm. The reason for the berm is they moved ground so they can access that southern end.
60th is bad.
55th to 60th.
Well, I get it over on the other side, on the east side of 51st Street as well, in the district I represent. But Mike from Stantec had wanted to respond to something.
Yeah,
so let's.
Mike from LCM from Stantec. I drove down from here today, and I'm not happy with the meeting at 60th.
Okay,
I
know.
Mike, could you come up and use the microphone, please?
Sure. Yeah, but who is he?
He's going to restate his name.
Mike Krasnowski from Stantec Consulting.
I get the front of the mic if you don't know how to use the mic.
Well, I wanted people to see me because I wanted to be a little more local. How's that? I drove down from Green Bay tonight to be here, and I'm taking notes. And we do quarry monitoring. Obviously, that came up. It's unfortunate that the city-owned monitor broke this summer. And so, no, you're not going to pay for the whole the whole fee. I mean, I'm going to work that out with Joel. We have more than enough in the budget, obviously, to pay for it. That's why we sent it away to get repaired, and you know, it'll be ready for next spring. So you won't pay the full $43,000. I'm not sure how that'll work out yet, but we do monitor not just for seismic, we monitor for dust as well. You know, we do perimeter walks around the quarry unannounced. We sometimes call and get allowed on site to the quarry to access their records, because they have certain records they have to keep. So there's a variety of different things that we do. There was a question about complaints this year, and we are charging for each complaint. What we're doing is, for the first time, is we're actually taking examining where the complaints occur on a map. And then we're looking at the map where the blast is, and we're trying to find out some correlations that maybe might help, because that's never really been done. So that's why we're actually looking at that this year for the first time, whereas in the past few years we haven't done that. So there's a variety of different things that we're doing, but I can't say that the what we've monitored has been within the limits, because that's what we're being asked to look at. And this year's report, I might take the draft I've done and I might update it to actually have more beef on it, and to talk about this particular blast was within the limit. But there'll be a report on that on the city-owned site that we keep that people can download to look at. So if you got any questions, you can contact me later, I guess, but I'll be here. That's why I'm here, so.
Go girl, right? Jill Erickson, 801-6 South 60th Street. Thank you for holding the meeting in the evening so that we could attend this. Where to begin? Just in terms of these blasting limits, may I just say I really doubt that the state set those limits thinking quarries were going to be plunked in the middle of residential subdivisions. When I think of stone, other limestone quarries, they're out in the boonies. They're not located hundreds of feet from residential communities. So can we just, I just want to say that as a get-go. And then, so that's why I think these limits are ridiculous. I've looked online, and there are cities or townships that do PDDs like this, and they specify no blasting. And I do know that sand mining for fracking is really the hot issue now, and we're talking about stone. But don't use those numbers, because those numbers are for quarries out in the middle of nowhere where people don't live. So that was one thing I wanted to say. The other thing is, one thing I think the committee can do is help us as residents be educated. When you go to the city's website, I actually had to help Joel's secretary find where to find the Quarry Monitoring Committee information. I had to guide her to where it said there were links to the PDDs. When you get to them, they're password protected, folks. So it's real tough as residents to be educated and know what to ask and how to ask. It's, you know, we would like transparency. We'd like access to these things. We can ask intelligent questions. I have read the PDDs. They're dry as toast, and they were definitely written to the quarry's advantage and not to the residents' advantage. More people here, I'm sure, would read them if they could go online and do that. We would like to know what the Stantec contract is about. Does Stantec know when the quarry's going to blast? Does the quarry know when Stantec is monitoring? Is there a double blind there? Or it just seems like we're kind of hung out to dry here as residents.
Talk to Joel here. He says he doesn't know why the PDDs weren't accessible, but they certainly are. You can just ask the clerk for copies of them.
I know it's not
as easy for the online, but Joel, are they password protected?
They were as of yesterday. Yeah, today too.
There was a time when Gail checked and
Who did that?
We don't know. But Lisa knows. And the IT guy.
You got a web dude. I'm sure the web dude can do that.
I'm willing to give anybody any of that information. All you'd have
that's
to do
that's fine, but our point is there should be transparency and things
I totally agree. And I'm really pleased that this is coming to our attention because I've never heard of locking a public document.
Yeah,
if you're going to put it on the website, what is the sense of locking
it? Right.
So,
and the other thing, in terms of us being educated, because there's such a lag in the time these meetings are conducted in the middle of the day, and when you have the next meeting and the minutes are approved, we're talking months of trying to get catch-up. I mean, I've read that the minutes date starting back in January, y'all were talking about an informational pamphlet to come out to residents, and it's almost December, and no pamphlet. Maybe we wouldn't be so confused and
sound
a little
bit. We actually did approve that, Joel, the status of that.
And is that going to be posted online and accessible?
So the committee did release that, made its recommendation. Staff gave it to the administration, and I guess that's where it stalled.
Okay, then. Could we unstall it? Because that might help.
Another item that should come before the council, because the staff has oversight, and it doesn't come from this body.
I'll just
leave it at that.
I see. Okay.
Just let me make a comment. When all this started up, I was working with Jeff and Mike, and I provided them with every bit of documentation that I could get up my hands on to share that with them, going back to the PDDs and any kind of contracts with
Stat Tech.
So I would be willing to make that available.
Right, I get that point.
Every single person, though, are you going to mail it? Or
if you want it, I will get you a copy. I mean, I will do that.
You're missing her point.
Yeah, I think you're missing the
point. I need your point.
No, I'm
You are missing my point. I would like, instead of you individually doing that, make it available on the city website. Don't bury it, you know, under 5,000 billion tons of limestone.
The Stantec contract was presented in a public meeting each time and was in the council packets and is still online.
Mike, did you communicate to any of your constituents when those meetings were taking place? I never got anything. Now you're sending us emails because we're asking. As an older person, it's not about us asking, dude.
Well,
it's on
that.
You to send something
with,
out.
I do that with the other committees I'm on.
But not that one. But not this one.
I will do this one from now on.
Well, yeah, that would be good. That would be a good idea.
Anybody that is interested that would send me their email, I will send them. I have an email of constituents that I do send stuff every meeting that I'm part of.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I would be happy to
yeah.
That
well, Kristen sends out a newsletter, so sometimes we learn more.
About the transparency of
yeah.
Some way it could be moved forward to make it more visible, to be more accessible. I think that's the ownership of this committee should take a look at that as well.
The complaint form is also very hard to find. When your own staff can't find it on your website, it's not a good navigational setup.
I agree with
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I understand.
Gail has not used that system, but it should be easy enough for someone who hasn't, is your point, to be able to find it.
I'm just saying going on a website. You know, I'm not talking about internally changing any software or any code. I'm just saying finding it. She couldn't even find it. So, you know, yeah.
And the contract that was approved by the council in the previous year, it took a while for the recommendation from this committee for that to get on the council agenda. And then the council approved it and then took quite a long time for it to be signed and sent back to Stantec. So the next time when I made the motion, the following year, this last year, I put a deadline and said it has to be signed by. So because it just kind of sat out there for several months, I believe, before it got signed. So I'm not sure what internally is going on, but having people like you come and hold everyone accountable is a really good thing.
Hi, Chuck Schneider, 6006 West Hillside Court. It's a cul-de-sac that has my backyard on 60th Street, directly in line with the quarry. I built my house in 1976. I've had seismographs on my front stoop and on my patio surrounding my house no less than 20, 30 times. Nothing has ever been wrong. Nothing has ever been deviant from practice. I've tuck pointed my basement at least 3 times. I just got the estimate now for the actual repair of my basement, which is now no longer just cracked on the quarry side, but the cracking has gone on at multiple levels around the entire perimeter of my basement, and the latest estimate for repair is just under $20,000. Everything that's been said here tonight is going to take years to resolve. It's probably quite political. I'm going to be outside after the meeting tonight to take the email addresses or phone numbers, whatever, to begin investigating a class action lawsuit against Payne and Dolan and against the city of Franklin if necessary. I'll pursue that once I know more about it. I am no longer going to stand for this. I had a block actually blown out of my foundation. Enough is enough.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just have a question. You keep saying, you know, your
body. Would you restate your name?
I'm sorry. Lynn Callis, South 55th Street. What would the steps be now if, you know, we want to actually have something done? How do we get to the council and the mayor and what? I mean, whatever the ordinance is, ordinance is just a law. Couldn't that be changed?
It has to be both parties. It's a legal document.
Yeah.
So both parties have to agree to open it up. So if the city says, we want to change all this, and Payne and Dolan says, no, we're not going to agree to it, the city's hands are tied.
That's what an ordinance is?
That's
the way this one was structured.
That's the way this document was structured when the council at the time put that into place.
But
the
city
one I said
itself
I would have never voted on, that's the document.
Okay, but yeah, right. But you couldn't, like, make a new law or ordinance or sound recommendation just for the city in general, and they would not fall under that?
Mr. Deedle, would you like to address that?
Nope, not the way it's crafted. The PDD was crafted that it addresses all the zoning issues related to the quarry.
Forever.
Until they make a change or until both. So if the quarry wanted to expand, that opens it all up, or if both parties agree to make a change.
Would it, if they negate their agreement in any way by going over limits, would that open it up?
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
That would be up to the council.
But we never know if it's really over because our monitoring thing doesn't work, right?
Well, we have years and years and years of monitoring that has happened in the past, which caused this committee years ago to be dissolved because they couldn't find any violations even though they were spending all this money, and whoever was sympathetic at the time to the quarry having to spend that money allowed the committee to dissolve.
Okay.
And then I got back in, I was getting complaints from my residents, and we said it's time to bring the quarry committee back, and at that time Mayor Taylor was in office, and Mayor Taylor is the one who brought that committee back, and he is the one who appointed former Alderwoman Marge Shore. Now, this last mayor, she was a mayoral appointment to Mayor Taylor, and this last time around, our mayor would not appoint her, so I took my third district aldermanic appointment and put her in that seat to keep her on this committee because she has the history of this.
Okay.
The whole situation.
Okay. My question now is, what can we do? What would be the steps now?
If you were my residents, and some of you might be, I'm not sure how many are here from the 3rd District, but what I see that works the best is you petition the council.
Okay.
You get a petition. You get as many signatures as you can. You turn it in as certified. And you make a direct request on what you want. That seems to work the best when you're not going to. And I probably won't be real well liked by a lot of people for telling you that. But
it's not a secret. I just don't know it. I'm not very active in stuff like this. But I think we need to know what to do. And it's not talking to you guys, apparently.
Yeah. It's
no offense. I appreciate your time, but it's not going to get us anywhere, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Somebody's messed us all up, too.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. Mike, you better get up to the mic more often. Please.
This way?
That's right.
That better? Okay.
Because it's very difficult to hear you. But what I want to put up, I've been coming to these quarry meetings for almost 10 years, I believe, and we have not moved forward in any way to increase or do something different or to solve the problem. That's ridiculous, and I'm not blaming you. It's the city, the mayor, and the rest of the council. You can't do much. And most of our committees are that way, that they can't do much because of the common council. But, however, I have been after this committee to call this a public nuisance. And if you read the public nuisance, they fall right under that category, and we should be able to stop it. Therefore, I would ask that the city passes an ordinance to say that no more blasting in the city of Franklin. That will shut them down. And move this forward to the common council. There is also what I want to bring up is how these things happen that industry like this gets involved in a city. If you note, the common council has approved a disaster type of what I call damaging three different neighborhoods. The Rock Commons, you people and your cohorts on the committees and the planning department all approve all that. And it damaged three neighborhoods. People have to live in that area. And that's what's wrong with this city. We had this quarry here. It was a common council that approved it, not you. And I'm saying way back when. And we got to stop this type of political crap that goes on. Now, we're going to have that Rock, and some people think it's good. I think he's got some good ideas, but what he's doing is destroying three other. And you people, the common council, voted for it. The planning department said it was okay, and they keep moving it up. So where is this going to stop? You know my feelings about the Rock. Mike Zimmerman and I are good friends, but I told him I don't appreciate
just,
it. But I'm going on the wrong subject.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but I'm just showing that that's how this thing happens. And we got more crap going on. And I want this to be under a nuisance thing and an ordinance to stop the blasting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the council. Good evening, members of the Payne and Dolan, thank you for being here. My name is Mike Rapp. I live at 8273 South Cascade Court, right off of the far end, the south end of 60th Street. I was home in my family room on October 1st, and I can tell you, verifying what my neighbors have said to you, my entire house shook, literally shook. I thought at the time it was a small earthquake. Then the information came out about the blast. I'm also concerned about the way it was framed here on some comments that there's a corridor. There might be a corridor, and geologically that would make sense. But I live almost directly behind Alderman Barber, only about a half mile south of him. I wanted to point out that I'm probably farthest south in this neighborhood, and I still felt this October 1st blast very, very easily. I mean, I really thought it was an earthquake. So the ramifications or the impacts of the blasting from the quarry they impact the whole Root River Heights subdivision. There might be a corridor that's more prone to it, but it affects the entire subdivision. Now, I have a couple other points I'd just like to share with you.